Welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Ligos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazine, and it's a happy day here in Philadelphia. The Phillies are still in the playoffs, guys.
Woo!
Joe Haley, our managing editor, of course, is still gloating about that. Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine, on the other hand, is still fretting about those darn Mets.
I'm over it.
Boo. Yeah, sure you
I'm
are.
I'm good. I just don't watch baseball anymore.
Of course, we have Michelle Bell here, editor of Supplier Global Resource, along with Kathy Houston, editor of Advantage Magazine. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. We also have a very special guest here with us this morning, Matthew Cohn, vice chairman of ASI. Matthew, how are you feeling about the Phillies' prospects?
Looking great. We're going to have a great season.
I think so. As always, our phone lines are open. Give us a call right now at 215-953-4979 and tell us what's on your mind. Also, check out our free gas card contest on the webpage right this second. If you're one of the first 50 people to type in the secret word I'll be mentioning during the show, you'll be on your way to a free tank of gas, so stay tuned. Joe, we've got a big show planned for today. What's on tap?
Yes, we do. First, we discuss selling to nonprofits with our special in-studio guest. In this uncertain economy, you want to find out how to sell clients on a price increase, so stay tuned for that. And you'll learn 11 presentation pointers from Guy Kawasaki. Down but not out, the pharma industry is still using promo products. Is Big Brother watching? Michelle gives a report on Moximity, a new service being tested by Apple iPhone in which you can press a button and see the exact whereabouts of the last person who spoke to you.
Very creepy. Scary.
Creepy.
What are the three perks employees would like in lieu of a raise? I'd like to know that, too. A new survey reveals whether or not consumers are willing to pay more for green products, and you might be surprised at the answer. What candidate is winning the silly political promo products race? Kathy Houston quizzes us. All this
on
and the
silly promotional products?
Silly promotional
okay.
products.
I look forward to that.
All this and the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Go.
Thank you, Joe. Inner Workings, a Counselor Top 40 distributor, announced yesterday that it has acquired Origin Partners, an Atlanta-based company specializing in print management and in-store displays. Origin has 35 employees and is expecting to generate revenues of about $36 million this year. Inner Workings, which acquired ad specialty distributor Corporate Edge last year, is expecting this new deal to help the organization expand its operations in the Southeast. ASI's newest presidential poll is out, guys, and the industry is showing a clear preference. Senator John McCain leads Senator Barack Obama by a 54% to 43% margin in the ad specialty industry. The latest survey was taken during September, and the 11-point lead in favor of John McCain is the exact same spread that the tracking survey found in August. In comparison, the latest Gallup Daily Tracking poll has Obama leading by a margin of 50% to 42%. A new report from the American Express Open Small Business Monitor shows that American businesses are really feeling the pinch of the credit crisis. More than a third of business owners say that the uncertain economy is the biggest challenge they face in growing their companies, and business optimism is down from 64% last year at this time to just 48% today. Meanwhile, cash flow concerns have risen and capital investment plans are at their lowest point in the seven-year history of the survey. Plus, later today in Promogram, we'll have a new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, I hear we have water bottles on tap for today. Is that right?
That's correct, Andy.
We look forward to that and everything else in the news that we have.
Thanks, Andy. Not good financial news, I guess.
Not so much.
Well, one of the reasons we twisted Matthew Cohn's arm and brought him into the studio here this morning is because we know the nonprofit sector is an important one for distributors. Many are looking to sell to nonprofits, of course, and Matthew has recently become on the board of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Fund, so we figured you could give us some insights this morning, Matthew. Now, how did you become involved with the JDRF?
Well, JDRF, I got involved about a year and a half ago. My daughter, Sydney, was diagnosed with diabetes, which was a challenging time for us and for our family. And I'll give the short version of the story. She was diagnosed. It's a challenging disease, so we decided to try to find ways that we could get more involved and get some control over what's a fairly uncontrollable situation. So we got involved with JDRF, got involved with the walk last year, started a walk team, got very fortunate, raised about $400,000 for diabetes research. And then about 8 weeks ago, our daughter Mackenzie was also diagnosed with diabetes. So now we have a dual team called the Cohn Sisters. Mackenzie has her Miracle Makers and Sydney has her Superstars to try to raise money. And again, try to get some control for the kids to feel like they can make a difference with this disease.
Sure. Well, how does the JDRF use promotional products?
You know, it's really amazing. I would say in my involvement, not just with JDRF, but a lot of other boards, nonprofit, I've always been both impressed and surprised how nonprofits use a variety of ad specialties, promotional products. For example, I'm on the board of an organization called CADE, the Corporate Alliance for Drug Education. And also, I was on the board, just left the Society of Independent Show Organizers. And all of the different boards have a variety of incentive programs that they use for fundraising. They also have a variety of programs to use for board recognition. So when I left the CISO board, I was given a plaque. In this case, it was actually a fairly cheap plaque, and I was disappointed because I think they had the opportunity to give a much greater thank you. They went to Things Remembered and frankly gave me a plaque that looked, you know, like the poor thing you might expect from a retail outlet like that. I think a distributor is a great opportunity to go to a nonprofit like that. Every nonprofit out there uses board recognition, uses awards to thank their board members every single year. And there's a real opportunity to go out there and to thank them for that. Plus, again, fundraising recognition and all other kinds of things where they use plaques and trophies, thank yous. They also do a lot of fundraising where they use incentives in the fundraising package. So if you donate today, you get greeting cards, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. If you were a distributor, how would you go about targeting nonprofits? Would you sell them mainly on the kind of recognition
sector? I think there's probably three or four different strategies a distributor could have. Frankly, the most undertapped one that I see is the opportunity to work with the local chapters to try to create a win-win fundraising scenario. In the case of Philadelphia JDRF, we use a lot of different ad specialties in our fundraising team. For example, we have wristbands and those kinds of things. And when I went to the walk meeting a few weeks ago where they train all the new walk teams, many people didn't even have a clue where to get the wristbands. And, of course, I directed them to Promart because that's a good place for them to go to. But it's amazing to me how few people knew where to get these products. But also, there are at least two walks every weekend in Philadelphia, not for JDRF, but for all nonprofits.
Right.
And those walks have thousands of people. Every one of those walk teams needs to make T-shirts. And to my knowledge, there's no real distributor that's focusing on working with those local chapters. So, for example, in Philadelphia, about 8,000 walk T-shirts are made. There's no one working with the local chapter saying, look, if you make me your recommended source, I'll make a donation back to JDRF equal to 5 or 10% of the amount of money I get from the shirts, and I'll go out there and sell 8,000 shirts. I'll go out there and sell the wristbands. I'll go out there and sell other kinds of products. So that's one way to do it. The second thing I would recommend distributors think about is find local nonprofits and go to them with an idea. How can they recognize fundraising teams? Here's, you know, a campaign that they can use to encourage people to go to different levels, how they can do recognition banners, all those kinds of things. And then also, how can they go and give board recognition? Again, every nonprofit that I know of, every year, they give the outgoing board members a thank you gift of some kind. They give them a plaque, they give them an award, they give them some piece of art or something. Well, go to those nonprofits and give them a program where you will manage that for them. Because as I think about what CISO had to do to go out to Things Remembered, a retail store, drive to the mall, go hassle with all that, if a distributor had gone to them and said, okay, I can do this, and here's how it's going to be packaged, and here's how I can mail it for you, and do all those things, I think Things Remembered is not a cheap store, high margin for distributors, and again, good value added for the nonprofit.
Sure.
So those are a couple of ideas.
And like you said, a lot of these people are volunteers, so they're not necessarily accustomed to getting this stuff.
And the other important part of that is not only are they volunteers and not accustomed to it, but in the case of the boards I'm involved in, most of them are also involved in business themselves. And so there's an opportunity not only to sell to the nonprofit, but then once you're introduced to the board, the opportunity to sell to all those board members as well and to continue to build your business that way.
Sure.
You know, the nonprofit market overall, I think, is going to be interesting over the next year because they're really going to have to ramp up their promotional efforts to raise money. You know, the money is not going to be as flowing as easily as it has in the past. So I think that distributors looking at nonprofits will see some opportunities there that they may not have had in the past.
Definitely. One of the things that JDRF is starting to do is actually use ad specialties to help build their business mm-hmm. that way. So they are selling blankets that are custom made. They are selling ties that are custom made. They're doing a lot more things at the walk site itself or via their mailing list. So if you give $100 or if you buy a $100 blanket, that's your way of doing it. So I think there is some real opportunity, and I've already seen that with JDRF, and that's prior to me even suggesting a lot of ideas to them.
Sure. Didn't your daughter Sydney's team have your own special incentives for donors last year?
We did. We did a lot of things. We're very lucky, of course, to have a lot of very generous friends in the industry who, when they heard about Sydney, donated a ton of things. So we ended up with great wristbands, lip balm, fleece jackets, and we did use it as incentive. So people who gave $100 to her team were able to get a cap, a really nice first in cap, and people that donated $250 got a really nice shirt, and people that donated $500 got a fleece. We also created two different categories so that the kids who participate on her team, if they donated $10, they might get the pencil, or they might get the wristband, or they might even get, like, we use temporary tattoos. good things both to help fundraising and also gain exposure. We got a lot of people out there who wear these products, and it did help us. We had lots of people donate to the team that we literally never met, who just met someone who was wearing a wristband. And that's that really right. worked out really well.
So you must have been the best promotionally outfitted team in the whole country.
we got a reputation for having a lot of good bling and stuff.
I'm sure you do. Now, how can people find out about the upcoming walk that your daughters are involved in?
Well, they can go online. Our daughters have a website, thecohnsisters.com. So it's C-O-H-N sisters, S-I-S-T-E-R-S.com. And they can go online and either join the walk if they want to come out or, of course, donate or get more information about diabetes and the things that you can do to help both stay healthy and to deal with it if you are dealing with it. I know a lot of people out there, we've met tons of people who deal with diabetes every day. And if anybody ever wants any thoughts or help, we've been through the dark side of it and we're happy to help. Just email me at ASI and I'm happy to reach out to you or connect you with your local chapter as well.
Thanks, Matthew. Those are great ideas and best of luck to your daughters as well.
Thank you.
We're going to pause for a message from our sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, we'll check in with Michelle Bell, who's going to give us a preview of an upcoming webinar that Counselor Magazine is hosting on a topic that is on everyone's minds.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Our phone lines are wide open. Please give us a call right now at 215-953-4979 and tell us what's on your mind. Andy, you're dancing. You must be good.
You know, the music starts. I just can't.
He's
I
shimmying.
Can't help it.
He's doing a shimmy.
That's impressive. Steve's on the mic over there. On the next musical part. Well, in the midst of some really bad financial news, industry distributors are also having to sell their clients on price increases at the very same time that their clients may be looking to actually spend less. Michelle Bell is about to be part of a panel on this topic on a webinar for Counselor Magazine. Michelle, tell us why suppliers are raising prices.
There are a couple reasons. The rising price of raw materials coming out of Asia.
Sure.
New labor laws, which were enacted of January in this year, which says that Chinese factories have to give their employees time off. They have to pay them benefits. This, of course, is going to increase the cost of products and add to their bottom line. And also the cost of product safety. Of course, that's something that everyone's really interested in, but that does not come cheap.
Of course.
So there are three primary things that are going to add to the cost of products. And, you know, people ask us all the time, you know, yes, we understand that prices are rising. Are they going to come down anytime soon? Unequivocally, no, they are not going to come down anytime soon. And, you know, it's interesting because people in this industry have not really had to deal with price increases. As Craig Nadel told me recently, you know, we've all been spoiled in this industry for a really long time because, you know, we're lucky enough to have inexpensive products that are, you know, of good quality. So people are really going to have to kind of retrain themselves to sell price increases. And I think some ways they can do that is to focus on the value added, really focus on presenting themselves as, you know, a full service creative type agency that can help their clients and provide more than just products, provide alternate services as well. And for the webinar that we're doing, which is on Tuesday, October 21st at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we have some really great experts from the industry who are going to sit in. Sam Tobias from Leeds, the VP of Leeds, and Chuck Fandos, who's the president of Gateway CDI. Both of these guys are really have an expertise in the area of trying to help. For Chuck, helping his clients understand about price increases, and Sam, for sure, has been kind of in the forefront of helping distributors kind of get over the hurdle of, you know, price increases are here to stay.
Cool. How do people register for the webinar?
They can go to asicentral.com/webcast.
And they can do that today?
They can.
Awesome. On a lighter note, management guru Guy Kawasaki just came up with a list of 11 presentation pointers. I'm sure we could all use a pointer or two in our presentations. Kathy Phillipson, what are some of the tips that Guy has?
Well, Guy says, first of all, this is something that's pretty obvious, have something interesting to say.
Not everyone
very
does.
Important.
That's number one on his list. Secondly, cut the sales pitch. Don't be selling your product or your company when you're giving a speech. You
sure.
should be engaging the audience and actually entertaining the audience. In some regards, entertaining the audience is more important than information because you'll engage them and then you'll be able to slip the information in. Another thing he says that will help everybody relax is to tell stories. Tell stories about yourself, your customers, Your coworker
Joe.
Your
cat sneakers.
Your cat in the attic.
Your cat sneakers. This way you're storytelling and you don't feel like you're giving a speech.
Also, I think it becomes, you become more personable. To, you
know. Conversational.
Right, right.
I think that's why Ken Blanchard was so great when he spoke here. He had so many great anecdotes.
Yeah,
he was so funny.
Right. Yeah. Usually the really good speakers do have all those anecdotes and entertaining stories, you know, so you just have to keep it moving along.
And there's also something about the size of the room I saw.
The size of the room. You should ask for as small a room as possible. That gives you a more intimate setting. Feels like you're talking to people one-on-one as opposed to being up on stage, you know, where the spotlight's on you.
Well, I think if the room's too big, too, it takes all the energy out of the room.
Right.
Matthew, you've given a lot of speeches. Do you employ all these tips?
Well, I'm not sure about the interesting things to say, but the rest of them I try on. I think probably the number one of those that I've found is the size of the room. The worst thing for me when I give a speech is if you walk in a room and it's half full and there's cavernous ceilings and the dark lighting, nothing you can do unless you light fireworks off on stage is going to enable you to get people's attention. And so, absolutely, I always like to have about 10 less chairs than there are people coming. Mm-hmm. So there's always a scramble for seats. Everybody feels
well,
like it's really
exciting. That's exciting. Like, it's the place to be.
Right.
So, standing room only is good.
How about as far as the storytelling? Do you tend to tell stories about your kids or, you know, your...
It depends on the speech. A lot of the speeches I make are more specific to particular topics or if I moderate a panel or things like that.
Right.
But sure, if I have the opportunity to let people know a little bit more about who I am, like when I spoke at the Power Summit last year, which I really enjoyed. It was a great program getting to meet all the people out there. And there's one, of course, coming up, which I'm excited about. I think that was an opportunity where people could see a little bit more about who I am. And I did tell some stories about my family and my kids and stuff.
I remember that. That was great. Now, you're a confident guy, but do you get nervous before you make a speech?
It depends. I probably don't, but I occasionally do.
Mm-hmm. How do you calm your nerves?
Are you looking to take notes here?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think what I usually do, honestly, is I just feel
deep
like...
breathing?
No, I feel like, what's the worst that happens? You know, I mean, I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and so if everyone figures that out when I'm talking, that's okay. You know, I'm not the brightest guy. I just, you know, try to work hard and get lucky. So, you know, I don't worry too much about it.
You know, the supplier secret sessions at ASI show are really fun because people get, 2 minutes to give their sales pitch? Some of them are really good. Like, I mean, what do you think the difference is between the ones that are great and the ones that are, you know?
The ones that are great and the ones that stink? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well,
yeah.
That are average, I was
right.
going to say.
Okay. Well, you're more generous than I am.
I'm not naming names.
I think there's no doubt the biggest difference is people that actually practice it. You know, we do a rehearsal the day before and we try to go through it. And if someone has done their homework at home and really practiced it and sat in front of their spouse and sit in front of their coworkers and actually go through the 90 seconds, 10 times in advance. When they get there, they don't feel as nervous, and they actually have gone through when they've edited it and made it feel better.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who come up and try to read the sheet of paper,
then
they don't, or they just wing it,
flat.
Those are the ones that have no energy and frankly get very bad ratings. Even if they have great information.
Right.
People don't listen to someone
engaged,
if all they do is read the sheet of paper, or if they just are winging it and they get half their presentation done.
Good tips, guys. Now we're going to pause for a message from our sponsor, the Platform Group Gallery. When we return, we're going to find some creative new uses for promo products in the pharma industry.
Need an ecologically friendly press kit or gift box? Every item in the Platform Group Gallery's gallery board packaging line is made from 100% recycled content fiberboard and environmentally friendly paper stock. Choose from over 300 ready-made gift boxes, press kits, folders, and binders, or ask us to design a custom package. Decorate with Spot, CMYK, or Blind eBoss and receive a firm freight quote. Orders ship within 7 business days. Rush is available. Visit ecofriendlyprintedboxes.com for a blind catalog.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Our phone lines are open. Call us at 215-953-4979. While new pharma regulations prohibiting many types of advertising specialty items rocked the industry over the summer, but some drug companies are still happy to use promo products. They're just shifting to those that are educational in nature. And Joe, we've got some good case studies about that coming out in Successful Promotions magazine.
Yeah, AstraZeneca, in fact, used something called an IKIP web key. And what that does, it directs physicians to a website, a protected website, to be able to get more educational type information about their new migraine medicine. And they sent it out, and within 2 weeks, they had an 11% response rate. It's good for them because they're able to track that. They know who's going on and who's not going on. So they're using a USB drive in order to, you know, deliver some educational information, and it's still a promotional product. They can label that with the AstraZeneca, or Zomega is the name of the migraine medicine.
Sure. I've heard a lot of people are using USB drives now in that way.
Well, pharmaceutical companies are – solely going to be looking for educational type products. So, you know, the simple pen with a logo is not really going to be allowed anymore, or, you know, is suggested to not be allowed anymore. So they're really looking for things with messages, you know, things that actually give doctors and consumers information.
You know, one alternative to look into, maybe, I was talking to Bonnie Sandy yesterday from DARD, and she said, you know, in overseas in Europe, they don't have the same kind of pharma regulations that we do. So this might be a prime time to kind of look into selling into overseas markets.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Oh, cool.
Well, now it's time for our secret word of the day. The word is sneakers. If you're one of the first 50, that's Kathy's cat. You just had to get that in, didn't you, Michelle? If you're one of the, wow, that was not Michelle, I don't think. If you're one of the first 50 people to type that in and send it in, you will win a gas card. So good luck.
Spelling counts?
Sneakers.
Yeah, come on, sneakers.
Sneakers.
And it has to be a capital S.
That's on my fourth grade daughter's spelling list. I think everyone can handle that. Let's pause for a moment to hear from our sponsor, Cup Around. When we return, Michelle will tell us why Big Brother is watching.
Customizable, reusable, and green. Think Cup Around. Branded, reusable coffee sleeves that last and get your business noticed. Advertise with every cup of Joe. Made from the safest material possible, Cup Around is recyclable, microwavable, and reusable. Cup Around is the green product to advertise with. Call 866-604-2877. 72 for more information.
Well, we're back live on ASI's Tuesday morning show, and Michelle and Andy are laughing uncontrollably for some reason.
It was Joe saying the cup of Joe.
Pun intended.
A big morning cup of Joe.
That's right.
Well, Michelle Bell had some scary news for us. If you've ever wanted to remain relatively anonymous in this world, the jig is up, apparently.
Yeah, for people out there who are paranoid lunatics like I am, head to your nearest bunker, for sure. Because there are two pieces of news that I came across. Number one, at the University of Texas, there's a test going on with combining social networking with cell phones and global positioning technology, and it's called Moximity, which is basically, you know, for example, if Melinda called me and we hung up, she could press a button on her cell phone and find out exactly where I am.
Exactly what bar you're in.
Good for wives. If you told me you were on the trade show floor, I could find out that you're really... Yeah.
Well, when I'm in Hong Kong with Rich Fairfield and he tries to find me at the end of the day, I'm at the bar, you know, and I'm not, you know, anywhere near him.
So that sounds unfortunate. That sounds like a good tool, actually.
You make it sound like that just happens in Hong Kong and not Dallas and Vegas and New York.
Orlando.
Chicago.
Trivos.
Orlando.
Trivos. The other thing is that there is a website called Zigs.com that if you sign up at this website, you can find out. You get little alerts when people Google you. Now, I Google people all the time. I don't want them to know I'm Googling them.
Who are you Googling?
I'm Googling everybody.
You just stop being a Googler.
Ex-boyfriend.
Well, I know you Google a lot, because I know when I was hired, you Googled me and found out about
We all Googled you.
We all did that.
You found out about my Beet Bush bake sale.
And I loved you from then. So this is the CEO of Zigs.com calls it technology caller ID for the internet. When someone clicks on the profile, the member receives an alert. I don't like any of this. I don't like any parts of any of this.
I don't like it.
And, of course, law professors are chiming in saying that it's a real issue for privacy.
Privacy, yeah.
That's a little scary.
I don't want anyone finding me unless I want them to find me.
I know
me.
Andy Cohn's not a big fan of this because you won't even put yourself on, like, Facebook. Andy's, like,
anonymous. No, you know, I'm easy
internet.
To find. But yeah, I don't need to be signing up on Facebook and LinkedIn and all those things. So.
What do you think, Matthew? Would you like to use Moximity? Find out where you're... employees and loved ones are at all times?
No,
I got more important stuff to do with the
moment.
You know
what? I think it's better to be in the dark, actually.
Absolutely. I don't want to know.
Blissful ignorance.
To hide something
Yeah, there's also the reality of just being overwhelmed with too much information these days. And
right.
So I think people need to focus on the things where they're going to be able to make a difference. If we all worry too much about who's doing what, when, why, how, we'll never get anything done.
Good True. Point. Well said. Well, if you're wondering if your clients will dig deeper in their pockets in 09 for green products, we have some clues for you this morning. Andy, give us a scoop.
Well, unfortunately, I think the answer might be no, especially with the economy going the way it is. But we saw a recent survey of 2,500 consumers, and Less than 25% of those consumers said that they were willing to pay more for green products. They're concerned about the environment. High numbers are concerned, but they're not willing to pay more for the items that they buy on an everyday basis. And that number is even down from 31% last year. So I think that the price of green products, until maybe the technology to create them gets a little bit more sophisticated and the price can come down, I think that the price is going to be a barrier.
Okay, well, we have two of our sponsors who have eco-friendly products on the line right now. On line four, we have Allison from the Platform Group. Allison, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How would you respond to clients who are concerned about the perceived high prices of green products?
Well, it's interesting because the line that the Platform Group Gallery manufactures is 100% eco-friendly, and it was designed to be that way. We actually started manufacturing the line over 10 years ago. And we chose to use 100% recycled content fiberboard and environmentally friendly paper stocks at that time because we felt that not only was it the right thing to do, it was also a differentiator from just standard packaging. So for us, we've been for the past 10 years explaining the value add of design and style and sturdiness and the sort of aesthetics of our line. And it's just been in the past two or three years that we've been able to say, well, you sort of bought in for paying more for something that's quality, which is sort of the European, just buy a few of something that's really nice versus buy a lot of something that's not so great. So we've been selling that concept, and now for us, we're in an interesting position because we get to say, and oh, by the way, it's ecologically friendly. No one really cared too much when we started the line that it was, and of course people care a whole bunch right now. So I would suggest then that the premise is not to position it as, well, you need to pay more because it's ecologically friendly. You sell it for its value, and then you say, oh, by the way, it is ecologically friendly because that's the right way to approach it, and that's what our company believes, and that's what your clients are going to believe in. So I wouldn't lead necessarily with the fact that it's green and ecologically friendly. I would do the standard marketing 101, which is, you need to buy this product because it will solve this problem for you, and it will do a better job than these other things. Which is something that you alluded to earlier in the show, where the industry is going to have to start selling on value and solving solutions rather than price. Price is never a really strong platform to be standing on. So here's our opportunity to push solution solving.
That's great. Great tip, Allison. Thanks very much. We also have Lisa Matlovich from Cup Around on line one. Hi. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Good. My feed keeps cutting in and out. I didn't quite hear the other response there. I'm doing good today.
Okay, good. How would you sell clients who are concerned about paying higher prices for eco-friendly products?
Well, I think that most people have a long-term perspective, and one of the things that we really advocate is the manufacturing in North America. And I think if you appeal to the people's desire to keep jobs in North America, that is one way to convince them that the long-term goal is producing parts here. And I have found that people are willing to pay the extra. Now, maybe we're in a niche little market here, but when you have a quality product that is going to keep people employed, reduce the CO2 from shipping, I think people are willing to look at the big picture.
Sure. Well, USA Made is certainly a good selling point. Thanks very much, Lisa.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We've got some good news for employers who don't have a lot of money for raises this year. A just-released study from Hewitt Associates highlights three perks employees say they would like in lieu of a raise. So here, guys, I'll tell you the perks and tell me if you want this instead of a raise, okay?
Yes. No.
All right. time off for good behavior. So that's...
Good behavior.
Well, this is the wrong group, let me tell you.
Are we prisoners?
No.
Andy, you ate all your lunch today. Good boy. Here's your star and day off.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, that may not apply to some here, but no, it's, you know, extra days off here and there or flexible schedules, things like that. Now, a couple of you actually have flexible schedules here, so I guess that's a good perk, right?
It's an excellent perk, definitely. Yes.
Okay, another one. And by the way, this article is on entrepreneur.com today, and it's one that I think distributors should share with their clients because it definitely lists incentives very high as a perk that would be very well received, more than a raise. So another one is incentives, anything from gas cards to spa treatments, things like that. Michelle, I think you've pushed for various incentives over the years.
Yes.
Jimmy Choo shoes.
Ply me with gifts.
Tiffany rings. But those work for you, right?
They
you
definitely
like to be
do.
Recognized
they
with
definitely
an item
do.
Rather
I don't
than
want
money.
The money. I want the Tiffany's ring.
You even said you don't want the money.
No,
she
I'll,
has.
I'll take hers.
You know, you can take hers.
I'll take hers.
No, but you've said before when given the choice.
Absolutely, because that just doesn't do it for me. I'd rather have something, something I can wear or put in my house.
Sure.
That's our little material girl.
One thing that the article did caution was that incentives should be customized. So, you know, obviously the same product's not going to work for everyone. Yeah. So you need to really, you know, just ask the person or do a survey, find out what people want before coming up with some incentives. Finally, we've heard about panties and ojamas, but there are plenty of other silly promotional products out there in the political arena. Seems like each candidate has an edge depending on what the product is. So, Kathy,
that's
tell
right.
us more.
Well, let's talk yarmulkes and condoms.
Ooh!
Yes.
My there, favorite
those two
subjects.
Words that I could not imagine being in the same sentence ever.
Well, Matthew.
Until Kathy Houston.
Matthew, which do you think is selling more, McKippas or Obamacas?
Come on, Matthew. You're on the spot.
Obamacas.
Me.
Wow.
It's McKippas. John McCain is selling more yarmulkes. Okay, Andy.
Oh, I'm on the spot.
You're on the condom spot. Wow. Which is selling more, McCain condoms, old but not expired, or Obama condoms, used with good judgment?
I'm going to go with used with good judgment.
Very good. That was good judgment on your part.
Thank you.
Wow.
Very much.
Andy has one point, Matthew has zero. Let's go back to Matthew.
Okay, one more. One What's more. Selling more, Obama Cola or McCain Cola?
Obama Cola.
Very good.
Woo!
It's the real thing. Right.
It's a tie game. Well, that's all we have time for today, guys. Thanks to our very special guest, Matthew Cohn. And thanks to today's sponsors, I Promote You, The Platform Group, and Cup Around. Tune in to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show next week and learn about some wacky corporate gift trends. Plus, find out who in the industry has the absolute messiest office. And it's not me.
And Tim Andrews is going to be here.
Oh, yes.
In place of me.
Uh-oh. In place of you.
Again?
Doing a better job, that's for sure.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Have a great day, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.